Now, the cool scientist, Sean Duke, joins us. Good morning to you, Sean. Good to talk to you.
Good morning to you, Sean. Good to talk to you.
Hi, Declan. Good morning.
Good morning. A slight echo on the line as we do this over the internet, but we won't let it interfere with our conversation this morning. I'll mostly stay out of it so we don't get a repeating in the background. But Sean is the cool scientist. He's got a site called Science Spinning, and he's going to tell us, first of all, about the first meat that's grown in space, can you believe? Sean, the first meat grown in space.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one. It's an Israeli company that are operating on the International Space Station, which is orbiting above us as we speak, about 250 miles above the Earth. This company is called Alif Farms, and they grew the meat on the ISS far away from any of the natural resources that would normally go into making meat. So this is very interesting. And how they did it was they took cow cells from Earth, brought them up in a petri dish, essentially, and grew them on the International Space Station into muscle tissue using a 3D bioprinter. So with these bioprinters, you can actually print human tissue or any kind of tissue now, which is amazing. And in the future, what they're thinking now is, of course, that this technique could provide people living on the International Space Station, they're up there for a long time, some of them, with meat, or even maybe the plans to go to Mars, that people could have meat on the way there. But perhaps even more importantly here on Earth, that this means that there's now a way to provide people with real meat without all of the environmental damage and animal welfare issues that go into producing meat on Earth. They've grown a strip of steak, they say, essentially, from the cells, but they do admit that the taste isn't great and they'll need to work on that. But if you think of the resources that go into producing meat, for example, it takes between 10,000 and 15,000 litres of water just to produce 1 kg of beef. And of course, in Ireland, this isn't good news because both beef and dairy are very high consumers of factors that will give rise to greenhouse gas. So history is maybe moving against us unless we change our agriculture. And scientists actually say, as part of this article that was in The Guardian, they say that actually the best way an individual, this is not good news for Ireland, of course, can avoid or can do something for the environment or, reduce their impact on the planet, is to avoid meat, eating meat and dairy products altogether, because that's the best way they can cut greenhouse gas emissions. So a couple of implications from that story.
Yeah, and I think Richard Branson is involved as well in making this artificial meat. It's the cool scientist, Sean Duke, is with us, and we're talking about the science stories of the week. Lyme disease, is this the one from rats or something, or is it from ticks? But Sean's going to tell me in a second. But some people say it's actually mostly due to chronic fatigue, UK experts say. Sean, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, this is controversial, I have to say, and it's not going to be something that some people want to hear. But here in Ireland and the UK, we've seen a massive increase in reports of Lyme disease, which is caused by a tick that bites you, essentially. It's just exploded for some reason. They think it might have to do with climate change, that there's more of these ticks around. But the HSE, for example, just in the last decade has seen there's a tenfold increase in Lyme disease in some parts of the country, Cork and Kerry, for example, but also elsewhere. So this is a big story at the moment. But in the UK, they're also having the same problem. The NHS experts, the doctors, they set up a panel to look at this. And the panel said that actually most of the people that are suffering from long-term Lyme disease, so that the symptoms just don't go away, probably don't have the condition at all, but that they're more likely to have chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, people will remember that possibly as yuppie flu, which was around way back in the 80s. This panel say that actually what's happening is that people that have the chronic flu or the yuppie flu, these symptoms are not treatable. So what's happening is that they're being pushed towards unscrupulous clinics who will give a positive blood test for Lyme disease because people want to hear that they have Lyme disease, not yuppie flu, because the Lyme disease is actually treatable. And one expert who's Sarah Logan, she's a consultant in the University College London Hospital in Tropical Diseases, she said that, you know, most people do now think that they may have Lyme disease, in fact, have a syndrome that's more in keeping with chronic fatigue syndrome. So what happens when people get this? Well, many people who are bitten by the tick, if they're out walking, a neighbour of mine got it walking in Glendalough, and they develop a rash within a few weeks of exposure. But then sometimes people who may have the chronic fatigue, this is what the doctors are saying in the UK, they don't remember exactly when they got the infection, and there's a bit of doubt, and they might wrongly conclude that it was a tick because they're just not sure when they get it. The other thing is that experts say that blood tests that are conducted within about the first 6 weeks of getting an infection, of getting a rash, are not reliable. So to watch out for that. But as well as a rash, patients with real Lyme disease, if you like, it's a very serious thing, they can develop these flu-like symptoms. That's a warning sign. And if they don't get the antibiotics into them quickly, then the condition can kind of escalate, and you can get pain, serious pain and swelling in your joints. You can even get nerve problems, heart problems, and then you can get kind of psychological problems, like you have big problems concentrating and balance. And these effects can last for years afterwards. So it is a serious condition. But anyway, that's something to think about. Maybe there's something else going on with some of these cases.
Indeed, it's Sean Duke. Lyme disease from ticks. It was Weil's disease, actually, from the rat. So sorry to confuse you there. Moving on to another story, and this is the dangers of not washing your water bottle properly. So, Sean, what water bottles are we talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about the reusable ones, because obviously people are more interested now in using reusable water bottles rather than the plastic ones that get chucked away because of obvious environmental benefits to doing that. But the problem is that a scientist, a microbiologist, he's not alone, one particular well-known microbiologist in New York University in New York City, he's saying that actually what happens if you're reusing your water bottle and you're not actually washing it properly or looking after it, then what happens is that bacteria gather on it, like he compared it to the way barnacles would gather on the underside of a boat. So, you know, we're all told that we need to drink water daily. So, and as well as that, we want to contribute to the environment. So we want to use reusable bottles. But what you have to do is that you must wash these bottles. And the way to do it is with hot, soapy water, and get one of those little brushes and really have a go at it. And you have to do this at least once a week to avoid the build-up of bacteria. Because, like, one study, for example, looked at how much bacteria was hanging in and around our water bottles. And this team of scientists, they swabbed 12 different random reusable bottles, and they found that there were more than 300,000 colony-forming bacteria within just one square centimetre. So we can't see them, but they're there. And, you know, if you don't do this, then it can obviously lead to health issues, because you can get strep infections, you can get staphylococcus infections, you know. So definitely, if you're using the reusable bottle or container, you must wash it at least once a week.
My gosh, be careful out there. Right, finally this morning with the cool scientist Sean Duke, one from this morning's news of an amphibian, sort of, probably that's more like a frog or something like that, discovered, well, bones of it from millions and millions of years ago in County Clare. Tell us the story, Sean.
Sean? Yeah, this one is from RTE, and they reported that the fossilised bones of this amphibian-type creature that lived on the west coast of Ireland 325 million years ago had been found on a beach near Doolin. Now, that's a very long time ago. Just to put it in context, that's 100 million years before the dinosaurs even appeared here on Earth. So we're going back a long ways. The fossils were discovered after a recent storm which dislodged shale deposits. Shale is this rock, you know, that breaks in nice, even plains. People know what shale is like. So you often get nice fossils in shale rock. And the two small bones that were found were by a guy called Dr. Eamon Doyle, and he's a geologist with Clare County Council. And they're thought to have been the leg and the hip of this creature that predated the lizards, I should say, and the dinosaurs. And they think that this is one of the amphibians that evolved from fish and began to colonize the land. So if you remember our David Attenborough programs, when the fish developed these little legs and they start to crawl onto the land and colonize the land, this is one of those creatures, they reckon. And it would have fitted into the palm of the hand, of a hand. And it probably lived along an area, the west of Ireland. It's hard to think now with the west of Ireland that we know, but that it was once a swampy coastline and very warm where this creature lived. And the geologists think that found it thinks he may have been washed out to sea in a flood. The bones settled on the sea floor and then eventually were fossilized. And this guy, Dr. Eamon Doyle, is a bit of an expert at getting amazing old fossils. He got one last year that was even older. It was 435 million years old, a starfish that he found in Connemara, and that's on display in the Museum of Natural
History. So, again, another one.
Interesting.
Okay. Good stuff, Sean. Thanks very much indeed. That's Sean Duke, the cool scientist, and with the science stories of the week. Very interesting. Sean Duke, thank you very much indeed. Morning Show at East Coast.